And it worked out quite nice, I think. I'm just going to start off by saying this is Julie DeBenedictis, and I'm here at the Polish American Citizens Club in South Boston, and I'm here interviewing members of Krakowiak. Did I say it correctly?
Yes.
Okay. And could you just tell me your name first, please?
Stan Bogdański.
And Stan and I were just talking about how he got interested in Polish dance. I'm wondering if you don't mind just sort of telling me again what it was something that your parents wanted you to do.
Yeah, I was 7, and I was playing hockey at the same time. I started playing hockey at the age of 5. But my parents wanted me to dance. So they told me, it's either you dance and don't play hockey, you know. And I said, well, so I started dancing, and I stayed forever. Well, right now, so.
Did you grow up in Poland, or were you?
No, I grew up here. I was born in Canada, actually, and my whole background is Polish. I have Polish friends, Polish life.
Yeah. What part of Canada did you grow up?
Montreal. Yeah.
I wasn't aware. I didn't know that there were many Polish. Is it a big population?
It's not that big, but I think it's smaller than Montreal. Okay. Smaller than Montreal. Sorry, smaller than Boston, but. The group was once big, but then you get older and leave, and for some reason, younger people do not want to come back to their roots or something. It's strange.
So, what when you were taking dance, did you take formal lessons or?
We would have ballet instruction. Once we would have 2 rehearsals once a week. We'd have a ballet instructor come in for about an hour and a half, which twisted our legs because it's very. It's hard when you're not used to it. If you're doing it on a regular basis, your muscles are used to it and it becomes easier. But it gives you the stage presence, the ballet, your upper body, your head and your arms. And so it helps a lot in that sense. So if you want to progress, ballet always helps. But then Polish folklore is not ballet, the way I see it. So if you make mistakes and you screw up, it's part of it. Because if you really want to be an authentic dance group, you have to. So you can't rely on everybody being in a straight line, or because it'll never work. Polish folklore, the way it started, people would get together in a yard and start dancing. We choreograph it to make it exciting for people to watch. Because if you go to Poland and see a little group from a specific town dance or sing, they're boring. It's true, but you watch them do it. It's great to see it for me, but probably for them too. But when you for stage, it doesn't work. That's why you have groups like Śląsk and Mazowsze, Polish traveling groups, who are really, really good, ballet trained, and so they do the Polish folk with the ballet background. It looks really good.
Oh, so they sort of modify the folk dance,
yeah.
So it's more. Exciting.
So we can't, I don't think we can reach that. We try to reach that level. So that's why I say we're not a ballet, we're Polish folk, right, as opposed to the ballet.
So are the dances that you're doing here with Krakowiak, they're similar to what you danced when you were young in Polish folk dance, or is it?
See, the steps stay the same, just the choreography changes. I think, I taught them a new dance, a Rzeszów dance, from the Rzeszów regions, southern Poland. Everybody knows the steps, but the choreography changes. So depending on the choreographer and instructor. The songs vary. You could sing the same song, same melody, different words 100 times. Like as soon as you cross the street in the town, they will change the words. Certain regions, a girl will a particular flower across the street or down, few blocks over, they didn't like that flower, they wore a different flower. Or ribbons. Some people had blue ribbons, some people had red ribbons. Just to differentiate themselves from the other neighborhood. Mm. But it's still the same town, but they would change the costume by ribbons, flowers. And yeah, so there's a lot of little things like that.
So after ballet, did you actually take structured folk dance lessons, or that was what you learned from your family?
The dance group.
Oh, the dance group.
The dance group.
Okay.
So your dancing comes from the dance group.
Okay. Was there dancing in your family as well?
My sister danced, my brother danced with his two left feet. You know, and he couldn't do it, but my sister did. And my parents danced, but my father likes the music, and he's the one who told me about when he was young, how he, when he was growing up, accordion player in the village would show up on Sunday afternoon after church, and he'd play, and girls would meet the boys, and they'd show off to each other. And so that's the attitude I had. It's, you know, girl meets boy. And
right. How did you get involved with Krakowiak then?
We would tour or go to other cities, and we'd see groups performing. And you'd always want to see certain groups. Krakowiak was one of them. You'd want to see Wesołylu, because they were kind of a young group and also strange. It was weird. You'd always want to see New York also. And you'd get these friendships with the people, and then we'd have joint concerts. We'd have, they would come to Montreal for a split show. We would come down to Boston for a split show, and we started like that. And I met my wife in the dance group in Krakowiak, and that's another reason why I'm with the dance group.
And how did you become the choreographer?
I have no idea. You have to ask her.
Okay.
I have no idea. I started teaching in Montreal and with little children, and it was fun. And I started rehearsing the older kids. But it was hard, because my mind wasn't set on doing that. And when you get older, I got older, and I started thinking differently. And when they asked me, I think 2 years ago, with the little kids, and I had a good time with the kids. I think they remembered that. That's why. I don't know. I got a call this summer.
Said yes.
Yeah.
Have you continued to play hockey or no?
I stopped when I moved down here.
Oh, right.
I played once here with the Framingham Police Department.
Dance has taken over.
Yeah.
And kids.
Oh, that too. Yeah. So, no, I'd like to open it up to everybody, if that's okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. I know your group's getting larger. It's time to start practicing, I think.
Should we move?
Actually,
rearrange our stuff?
Yeah, if you'd like to come up. So you can
come. Paul is the talker of the.
Anyone who likes to talk, come over here.
You can ask you zillions of questions.
Do you mind making the sound of watching as it's.
Come here.
So, do you know what to do? It's this thing.
I see my
Okay. Hold on, I'm going to bring it this way.
Some cousin of mine owes me money.
Okay. And can I have you tell me your names, please?
Yes, Christina Benson.
Okay. Paul Lempicki.
And I wanted to ask you both, how did you both get involved first with Krakowiak?
Good question. I came to the United States 19 years ago, and my landlord actually introduced me to the dance group. He used to dance with the group, and he told me it was a great group, so I came, and I joined. Since then, I've been dancing. I took a short break in between, but I've been dancing since then.
And you just became president, was that it?
Yes, not that long ago, a few months ago.
Right.
A few months ago, so interesting, position and a lot of work.
With Krakowiak?
Well, I had a similar story to Stan's. I wanted to play soccer when I was younger.
All these athletes.
Yeah. And, I could only play the soccer if my mother said she would only wake up and bring me on Saturdays if after soccer practice I went to dance practice.
I love this culture. I do. Okay.
It's torture. Everybody has to follow what their mother says, so. Really,
and we still follow.
Oh yeah, it's this hold. It's like there's this syndrome, this Polish mother syndrome that they can get you to do anything they want.
Maybe it's the food.
Maybe it's the food.
Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Needham, Massachusetts.
Okay. And you said you grew up in Poland.
In Poland,
is that right?
Yeah.
Where in Poland?
In Żywiec, Poland. It's a southern part, close to about 2 hours away from Krakow.
Okay.
In the mountains.
And at what age were you when you came here?
I was 14, so now you can add it all.
Okay. I wasn't going for age. I'm curious to know now, did you grow up dancing? I'm trying to find like what the roots of like this folklore dancing is.
No, I did not. No, there was a dance group in my town, but I don't know, I was too young probably, or maybe my parents never introduced me to it, I don't know. I always liked it, but it was here when I came here.
That's well,
when
I think, you know, you have a, you're looking at it a different angle. This is performing style dancing, but any, you know, a lot of cultures, especially the Polish culture, my grandparents, they weren't in a semi-professional or performing group, but everybody danced. There's not one person in the family, your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, even if they're no good, they all like the music, they dance. It's very social. It's a whole social experience. If you've ever gone to, you know, a Polish wedding, it's on the same idea as an Italian wedding or a Jewish wedding. They're all, you know, that all that old culture, everybody danced, everybody participated. Okay. So this is just broadening. It brings, you know, it's going, I want to say it's going back to my roots because I'm, you know, third generation in the United States. So when I really didn't know much of my Polish culture before I joined this this dance group. It's kind of an extended family where you learn you learn to dance. It's great when you were, you know, growing up, you'd be invited to go to a wedding or something. You'd be the only guy out there on the dance floor because everybody else would be, you know, they'd all be wallflowers or wouldn't be able to dance the different type of...
Can we ask you, Paul, how long you've been dancing?
Since I was 7.
Okay. And how many years is that?
I can't remember. Maybe 29.
That's it.
So that was more I was getting at, too. Like, did people in your family just dance? Was there dancing in the house?
No.
Or it just wasn't?
No. My father was a soccer player more than anything. Yeah. My mom. Everybody worked. There was really, when you live in Poland, you concentrate on working and making sure that you have, that your kids are not starving and that you have enough, you know, to feed your kids. And, like, activities like here, you know, where now you have, you know, after school this, after school that, and kids are doing stuff. We really didn't have as much of that in Poland. It was, you know, you come home, you go outside, and you play with your friends. You know, that was basically, I don't think my parents even had time to think about, you know, should I bring my child to this place? And plus, they didn't have money if it cost anything, you know.
Is dance, now hearing from both of you guys say that your mothers both wanted you to dance. So is dance for Polish children, is it very important? Like, is dance important to the Polish culture, would you think?
Well, it was the easiest way to get you involved in your culture. Because when you, with that, you learn a lot about folklore, you know, the language, which I've never picked up. And it's the whole social aspects, too, because, you know, every...
I think the parents here, they're trying to, you know, especially if the kids were born here, they're trying to have them be around Polish culture. And this is one of, you know, the nicest ways to, if you like to dance and sing, this is a great way to, you know, send your kid once a week or twice a week and have them be involved. Plus, we go on trips, we go to Poland, you know, and over to other countries, and we meet other dance groups, and it broadens their horizons.
And we're also members, our dance group is members of an organization in the United States of many Polish dance groups. So,
in North America,
yeah, Canada. Yeah, in Canada, I'm sorry.
yes,
of the whole North America, it's a... it's an organization of dance groups that every year they have like a small festival in different part of the country. And we've had them in Canada, Boston, Chicago, New York.
Are these just Polish dance groups? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yes, but it's from all different groups from all over the Americas coming, and you get to meet a lot of friends and get in contact with, you know, even different, you know, cultures in the United States. Like, so you know, you mix with people from New York and Chicago and California. Even though we're all one country, we all have different way of life. And saying that we also have festivals, we go to a festival in this one town in Rzeszów. They have a festival every 3 years, and you meet with Polish dance groups from all over the globe, where you can go and meet a Polish dance group from Australia or France, or, you know, from Brazil, Russia. It's, you know, it's a lot of fun. Meet a lot of people. It's very interesting.
It's interesting. I was recently talking with a woman who's an Irish dance instructor, and the way their dance is formed, they have a lot of competitions between their groups all over the world. Do you have that too within Polish dance, or is it more just celebratory and festivals?
Well, it's very social, and for some reason, when you get other people and other who participate in dance, you know, the level somehow increases. You know, it's that competition, and you don't want to look bad in front of somebody that knows what you're doing.
It's a competition, you know, within you. It's you know, you want to show that you are a great dance group, and you want to show them that you can do, you know, a good job. So it's not, you know, we don't get awards for it, but there is something.
Pride.
There. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you know the good dance groups, and you know the groups you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, there's a lot of lesser groups, but they're not
as skilled.
Yeah.
But they put a lot of heart into it.
And sometimes they surprise you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's terrific. Now, you've gone to Poland, you said, and you've traveled as well, like with the group, like all over, which is really exciting. So when did your group go to Poland? Was it a recent trip? I read it on your website, so I didn't know.
The kids went, I believe, last year.
Okay.
The kids went.
Wow, that must have
been
a good...
When did we go last time? 2 years ago?
1999. Every preceding three years, we've gone. Mm-hmm. The first time our group went was in 1969.
And this was just a festival of sorts, of gathering?
No, this was an organized Polish festival for groups from all over the world to go.
Yeah, we went to the same festival every 3 years until 3 years ago. Was that the first time?
Yes, we were invited to a different festival in the south of Poland, in the mountains, in the town of Żywiec. They had a festival, and our group was invited.
Now, what do you do locally here? I know you don't have many performances coming up just yet, but what have you done, say, within the past year in Massachusetts or in Boston?
Well, every year we try to have a performance locally. In the past, we've performed at the in Brockton. We've gone full performance
first night.
Yeah, we did a performance up in Halifax, Nova Scotia. We've done first night.
We did the ball just a couple of weeks ago.
We did a debutante ball.
How did that go?
It was very good.
Good, very good. It was our first performance under Stan's direction, and we survived. It wasn't bad.
He didn't yell at us too much, so we did pretty good.
He's a fair choreographer. He's good with you. Oh, I was wondering if you could, and please let me know if at any point you would like to get started with rehearsal, because we can stop this at any time. So you can shut me up.
Well, we have another talker. Right?
Oh, great. And before we get started, could you say your name then, please?
My name's Eric Pierce.
Okay. how did you get involved with the company?
Well, my parents have been involved in this group since 1939, I suppose, or even in the late 30s.
I read that name in the website.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were they, that was the question, could you tell me how this was founded?
It was initially founded on as a women's club, and they would sing and do a little dancing, but they realized, you know, we need partners. We need to do this right. You know, they were learning about it. You know, this is a lot of couples dancing in Polish dance. So they you know, got some guys involved, and then it just became, it went from a women's club to the club. and the organization evolved from there, and they did more and more choreographed numbers, and, you know, had successive choreographers and artistic directors that, you know, have come up through the decades. So I guess, I think in the late 70s, we actually were financially in a position to actually sponsor someone from Poland, a professional choreographer, to come in. And that, I think, marked a really significant change. I was in college at the time, and I remember it was like this incredible night and day. Like the first time I saw Wielka Polska, which had beautiful costumes and all newly choreographed, it was just like, it was just wow. Oh, this is like something new now. This is a whole new, you know, a whole. It was just a whole new era, and we've just been progressing ever since.
So, were your parents here from the get-go then, or they came in later? What was their relation?
Well, they. I don't remember exactly how they started, but they started it early on in the late 30s or during the, you know, the 40s. And
did your parents meet in the dance
school? That's how my parents met. Yeah. And my uncle and aunt as well. And so this is so much intertwined into my family. I mean, I really had no choice but to join this dance group.
Your mom wouldn't have let you otherwise.
Right. It was Boy Scouts or dancing, and I really pretty much didn't have much choice in the matter. But just like the same thing with skiing, I had no choice. The family was going to go skiing. I had to learn, and I'm thankful for that. The family did folk dancing. I'm thankful for that. So there was, you know, we realized it was a great thing and it was fun, and it wasn't something that a lot of other kids did, which there was some tension there, but I realized how special it was, and I've been doing it for 30 years. So,
would you say it seems like dancing? Now, talking to you, Paul, and Stan, and you as well, now that dancing seems to be more of a part of the life of immigrant families, like the Polish who came here to the States or came to Canada to try to, like you were saying earlier, keep up the culture and keep in touch with it, more than it is a part of the life.
You still have it here. You have it in you have the Spanish community,
yeah.
Huge into dancing. Mm-hmm. They've been, you know, it's not just new immigrants. It's from people who have been here, you know, for 100 years. In the same way with the type of dancing do in the Appalachia and down in, you know, down in Louisiana, they have a lot of with the, you know, the Cajun dancing.
You can poke it to that, too.
Yeah, that's...
if you stereotype Polish people in North America, it's polka. People think of polka. But polka is...
That's an American thing.
That's the Polish-American.
Social dance. It's a social dance as opposed to what we do. So I say, like I tell people, I'm going dancing. You're going to polka dance? You know, but no, it's hard to... You know, and you tell them, look, there's many regions, different costumes. Just hard to explain to somebody unless they see it.
It's a difference between what they perceive, you know, because you have, there's a misconception that it's like you think of polka dancing, drinking beer, and bowling all in the same, you know. They have those, you know, if you say those three things to people, they have a vision, you know, they have a vision of something going on, and this is different. This is, you know, talking about different regions of Poland, I remember being corrected one time because one of the choreographers, when we were in Poland, we were talking about different costumes, and they corrected me, and they said, it's not a costume, this isn't dress up, this is folk dress, this is what we wore at this time in this town. So this is, you know, to be culturally correct, it's authentic folk dance, and we are a semi-professional, adapted
folk dance group. If it was true folk, as Stan would say, it would be, you know, very boring, and it would be, you know, a lot of times it would be a lot of competition with, you know, with the guys and the girls in the town. We, you know, a couple of guys would grab a girl and they would do some steps and they would step aside, and, you know, some other guys and girls would do some dancing, and you know, there's a culture of girls dancing together and, you know, guys, you know, showing off. And what we've done is, through the years, it's an adaptation for a stage performance of folk dance. And Stan, and through the years, other choreographers have tried to put a more authentic, adapted folk dance so it would be enjoyable for an audience. As if, you know, if it was, you know, difference between, you know, dancing for yourselves and dancing for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And so when these folk dances in Poland, they would be done very social occasions, for, you know, like parties or, like, what, I'm sorry, I'm not phrasing this well. When would folk dances, just to label them as something, be performed or be danced in everyday life in Poland?
It's very difficult for us because we've grown up in a modern era where you had, you know, radio, television, you know, movies, all these things. But in years past, everything, a lot of the social activities revolved around the church. And on Sundays would be after church, people would get together. They would have different festivals, different name days. I'm the wrong person to talk about this.
So, Chrissy, I invite you to add to this as well, or anyone else.
Maybe please. This one knows more. I really don't know too much. As you know, like Paul said, after church activities, when families get together, they would dance it. I don't really know any other.
Weddings. I mean, historical presentations I've seen, as distinct from the adaptations for the stage, are actual reenactments of how, you know, weddings would take place and what their dress was, what kind of things they would do in as part of the ritual. And but you know, we've seen a lot of different adaptations for the stage of Polish folk culture. I mean, it's once you take it away from its element, you know, you're changing it. And what we've tried to do is not to change it too much. In years past, like groups like Mazowsze, from professional groups from Poland, would really heavily stylize it, because now this is a dance performance. And yes, it's Polish. They use the Polish folk costumes, but they've got real. These are real professional dancers on stage, and they're doing things, you know, it's not modern dance, but it's a, you know, it's a professional dance context and adapted for the stage. So we've, for over the years, really worked a lot with those tensions on, you know, what, you know, how can you remain authentic? But like when my uncle first talked to Agata, he said, well, we try to be very authentic. She was like, authentic? She thought of like a stage presentation of some ethnographic, you know, like a historical lecture, you know, and that was just maybe a communication problem. But that authenticity is trying not to over stylize and try and stick to, you know, keep the steps the way history teaches the best from, you know, the experts in Poland, you know, will teach. And so we try and stay that course, and still make something entertaining and fun at the same time.
A true Polish folk musician, no notes. You ask him what to play, he'll get something and he'll play it. And he'll build on that one melody, one tune. And they just play. Like in the mountains, you'll have, they have weird instruments, but basically a violin, three violins, a bass, and a cello. And that was your music. The lead violin would play, and then the other guys would follow. Whatever he played, they'd follow.
Right.
And then you'd have a fast tempo melody playing, and the singers would start singing slow in the background. And that's, like in the mountain region, that's the way they did it. If you go further north, then you'd have more structured pieces. But still, everybody had no notes. Everybody played, you know, they discussed, one guy started, then everybody joined in. Or you'd be dancing, music would stop, a guy would shout out, play this, they'd start playing it for you to dance.
Unless they wanted money.
Unless they wanted money. Yeah.
So I was reading, too, on the website, like all the different names of dances. So when they wanted the musicians to play, would they say something like mazurka or something like, and then they would know?
Yeah,
what basically. Would that be how it would work? That. Like, yeah. They'd know what kind of dance they wanted, but as to what song it was
or they'd start singing the song. They'd start singing the song, and that song would correlate to this dance.
Okay.
Like, let's say, Novi Son, Zhezhov, basically those are...
bartender said you have to sit up and stop.
Sorry.
No, they're fun dances, and those are the dances that a lot of interaction between boys and girls.
Okay.
And they'd call out a dance, and they would sing a song, and then the musician would play that song. And then the girls would answer back to the boys, they'd vice versa, go back and forth.
Right.
But then you'd have Polish folk, consists of those kind of dances, but also of national dances,
right.
Which you have proper dances. That the royalty dance, and we do those dances too, like the Mazur, Polonez, Krakowiak.
And they're more classical dances.
Yes, and you are, you know, there are relatively quiet dances, and they're nice to see, but they're
not still specific to Poland, though.
Yes.
Maybe? Yeah.
There's not that element of spontaneity in there, whether it's planned or not. It's not projected as much. It's usually very formal and presented, sometimes dynamic, sometimes graceful, and you know, it varies from in the national dances. But getting back to the musicians playing and singing at festivals in Poland and these North American festivals, a lot of times after the you know at nighttime, the musicians all get together. There's this whole culture of a whole like sort of subculture of all the musicians that the folk musicians, they all know each other and they all like, you know, they're all happy to see each other, and they all get together. Yeah, well, Sue Warland is a good example. She, a lot of people, you know, folk musicians orbit around her. She used to be our lead violinist. And but, you know, they would just get together and start playing. And, people would start singing along with them. And it was just that element of where the regional dances came from, like the villages. You could really, really see that. And that is just... It's really special because it's like this lifeblood that a lot of things, well, the springs where a lot of culture flows, right? Like even, classical composers like Chopin got so much of his inspiration from just the roots, if you will.
Same with Tchaikovsky.
Yep.
The Little Russian is based on a Russian folk melody.
They second just take something. It and refine it, but where the wellspring is sort of right down there on the farm, or in the village, or you know.
I just want to ask you a couple more things just about costumes and music. Are your costumes here? Are
folk
they
dress.
Folk dress. Any folk dress? I apologize. Yes.
Are your folk dress, your attire, is that from a specific region in Poland, or are they modern designs, or what?
No, we're talking about each village, each town, each region had its own specific folk dress.
It's part of their identity.
And it's part of their, yes. And we have between old examples, there, you know, because most of the materials that they had, they were all natural materials, you know, wool, all handmade, hand dyed, and you know, over the years and centuries, you have, you know, paintings of the folk dress. You have some elements saved. You know, you have the way of making it because there is a lot of lace, and you know, everything would be handmade, and it would be taught from. you know, mother to daughter to granddaughter to great granddaughter, and that would that's how, you know, the clothing was made back then, and we have some of our, you know, Wovich costumes. We have a couple that are over 100 years old, and a lot of the old. I want to say a lot of there was a great divide in Poland in the 18th century where the Poland disappeared from the map, and a lot of the culture was suppressed. And between that time and the time of World War, you know, right after World War I, there was not a sanctioned, you know, Polish identity. You know, it was just held in the villages, in the roots, in the peasant levels. So that all came back, and a lot of the stuff had to be recreated from old drawings.
Then there's the work of like one of the great Polish heroes, Oscar Kolberg, who literally devoted his life to going from village to village, you know, and like, you know, plowing through attics and talking with old the old 100-year-old woman in the, you know, sitting on a stool in the corner. I mean, this guy spent his whole life and has volumes and volumes and volumes of this stuff recorded. And I mean, the Poles have always recognized this as a national treasure, because when they had no nation, it's one of the things that kept them together. And like Paul said, sometimes the culture was suppressed. Sometimes it wasn't. It really depended on what was going on and what partition. And in some place areas where it was repressed, like in the Lubelski region, one of the things they did was they encoded their culture in the songs of children. So a lot of the folk culture that we have from these regions are actually kids' songs. But they did that. It was okay to teach the kids Polish, and they would sing these songs, and they kept it alive that way. No matter what they needed to do, they did it.
If you take some regions like Opoczno and Wowicz, they are central Poland, wheat fields, farmers, and in the costumes, they would have lines representing fields of wheat or whatever they grew. So everybody would, you know, put their things into the costumes.
And you can see so much about the history of an area and the geographics of an area just in how the costumes are. Like in some of the regions, they're decorated with lots of things because they might have been this region might have been a big trade crossroads, so there were, you know, a lot of things might be ornate, like what Stan said with the stripes and the fields. And then in the north, they even had like wooden shoes, you know, because they were, you know, the clogs for because it was damp up near the ocean. And so, you know, it's interesting how they all, like, you see these.
You take Lublin, it's black. Take go down south, Goralski, it's white. Then you got some black. Then you got Rzeszów is blue. Then you got Nowy Sącz, which is blue and black. Krakowiak is going to be, I call them pajama pants.
It's like stripes,
white and red stripes. Peacock feathers. Everybody's got their own little thing.
Well, they had those, like, almost like those mortar kind of hats, because, I mean, I don't know if that comes from, that sort of comes from the same place where we have those in, you know, in graduations and stuff today. I mean, that style in Europe, I think, came from scholars or something like that, and Kraków was sort of a seat of higher learning from going way back.
Yeah.
What are the designs of your folk dress for the dances? We have
very many. We have
all different.
Yes,
okay.
All different. Each, like we were saying, each region has its own specific.
And here in the group, you're all.
Yes.
You show all different kinds.
For I believe we have.
You want to start
most,
listing them?
Oh, it's. Eric's mom and dad are the directors, the costume directors for our dance group, and complete suites that we would have enough male and female costumes for 8 couples to be on stage. I believe we have 22 regions covered, and then individual costumes individual pairs of folk dress, I think we have probably another 15 to 18,
It could be replicated.
We could be replicated if needed to be.
And where did you get your costumes from? Are they from Poland?
Originally, when the group was started, they would be handmade with designs they would get from books. And with these first trips to Poland for the festivals, they've made contact with actual people who handmade them in Poland, and they started purchasing handmade folk dress.
You know, they started making a lot of contacts with locals that would actually were like a network of, you know, just people that, you know, sewed in the village and knew the designs, and so they would, these people would kind of coordinate these artists, really, you know.
Because you wouldn't go to a store and buy a Wovich costume. You wouldn't do that. You'd make a contact with a person that makes them, and you would go talk to them. And
there are people like that here in Massachusetts, or?
No, those, I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm not sure, yeah. But I know that there were and are people in Poland that do that. And one outfit, they might work, depending on how intricate they are, they might work on for 3 or 4 months, just for, you know, one couple.
The last time I remember an order of 16 costumes, that's for 8 men, 8 women, it took over 2 years to get the whole thing. Everything was made from scratch. You ordered this, they started making it as soon as you gave them the money.
And they wouldn't go. If you needed this lace, which was, you know, made in a certain way, you don't go to a store and buy it. There was no machine that made it. Someone had to sit and stitch the lace and cut out the patterns and...
Some of these people used to come and stay with us when I was growing up, and it was fascinating. They didn't just make costumes, and these people were folk artists. I mean, one time I came home, and there were these incredible things hanging that were made of straw and crepe paper. That, you know, those yeah, they're incredible. And I just was, where the wow! It was like there were artists in my house. It was amazing. And, you know, they would come over and, you know, visit Poland and visit my parents, stay for a while and help us with making, you know, certain things sometimes here, or sometimes just visit. Sometimes I thought my house was like a crossroads at times. My parents were always having guests over, but it was fascinating.
For some reason, when you're living in Poland, you take all this culture for granted. When you move out of Poland, that's when you start looking for all that stuff.
I was with many people that I do interview for this position as a folklorist or folklore hopeful. We are talking to people about how these things are passed on, like how traditional arts and dances are kept despite the fact that people have immigrated and have left. With many people that I do interview for this position as a folklorist or folklore hopeful, we are talking to people about how these things are passed on, like how traditional arts and dances are kept despite the fact that people have immigrated and have left their own country. And it's truly just about parents and family passing it on, remembering their culture and wanting to pass it on to their children and to their youth. So that's just as you were saying.
Sometimes it's the first generation doesn't have the luxury of doing that. You know, they're coming over here and are trying to reestablish themselves, and, you know, that what they maybe knew of folk culture or whatever might have been a lower priority, and here they are trying to establish themselves in America. They don't want to know about the old stuff. They want to know about all the new stuff. And it's like sometimes subsequent generations now, because of their hard work, have that luxury to rediscover their, you know, their background.
I feel like I've been noticing a lot with people in my age group, too, and I'm from an Italian background, but my grandparents all immigrated here from Italy, but my parents didn't learn the language, and because their parents were so into learning English and trying to get used to ways here. My parents didn't grow up with so much of other than a few social events. The food was the big thing that was passed on to my family. But now it's me coming second generation saying, I want to know this language. I want to know where my family came from. So just as you said, second, third generation, then it starts to come out. Kids start to get curious. And I feel like the parents are starting to say, hey, I do want to reach back. And I miss where I came from. Or I miss the parts of the culture that I had to leave, you know. How are we doing on time? Did you want to stop so you can get rehearsal going?
It's up to you guys. It's up to you.
Do you want to see us rehearse?
I would love to see you dance, sure. But I could always...
You want to hear a really cool story before we go?
Yes.
I'll tell the story my uncle likes to tell. But
I don't know all these stories, so it's
but this is a great story. You have. My uncle used to tell the story all the time. But in the very first festival... in Poland, there was actually a competition. There were only a few groups, and the poster for the festival, they showed these, they were like silhouettes of swallows coming together, and there was one from over here, and that was there over here. the Kurkowiaks, and that's because we were the only group from America in that first festival. I think there were only a handful of groups really, and there was a competition, and the night of the final gala concert was the same night that the Americans landed on the moon. And so when the guy came out to announce first place, he said, we want to interrupt this, the proceedings to inform you that the Americans have landed on the moon. And then he said, and also we'd like to say that the Americans have also landed first place in this festival. It was an incredible moment. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't there. I was at home asleep in front of the TV trying to stay awake watching the spacemen. But you know, when they came back, they told the story, that was a remarkable time in our group because that's when we started making all the contacts with Poland, started making a lot more, learning a lot more about as a group about Polish folk culture. I mean. I think, I'm not trying to diminish all the great work that all the previous choreographers did, but I think we started really making connections into Poland then, and that was, it's just, you know, one more sort of story and the kind of continuing saga and just how we've grown.
One last question. What does the name mean, Krakowiak? I mean, I know you have your city.
Someone from Krakow.
That's what it, okay. Mm-hmm. Just thought I'd ask. Yep. Like, I don't know if it was another... Yep.
So a lot of groups pick a city or a name, right. You know, that like Stan came from a group called Podhala. That's the name of a region in the southern part of Poland.
There's a group from Chicago named Wesoły Lud, which is happy people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot of different names
kids?
Like that.
No.
Happy these people, yeah.
Your Polish is pretty good so far.
Mm. Okay. I want to thank you all very, very much for letting me do this. And please warm up and start dancing if you want.
I want to start dancing.
And I brought a camera. Would you mind if I took a few pictures before we left? Okay. That's good.
So the 19th, made in Slovakia. This thing's bulletproof.
You're right.
Oh. Hey, it's chilly.
What do you think? Yeah, I know. I dress for the I also brought you one of our CDs. That's so nice.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, me and
Vanessa. Now, were you, how recent is this? Are you a part of this? Okay. Is this group that you have your own band that plays?
Yeah, everything is original. And Agata, who's not here tonight, she did all that for us. And this was, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago, if my memory is correct, that we recorded this. Very, very recent.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much.
Thank you.
have me do one thing, maybe now is better than before you start dancing? It's what's called a release form, which is just, you can read it. Just so if I take pictures, we're going to use, we may use it for cultural council publications, but please read.
Do you want my name or the dance group?
Oh, you can put your name.
Okay.
Yeah. This is for an individual person.
Last year, we have little kids group that are like really little, up to 6 years old. Then we have, between 7 to maybe 12. Well, they should be really up to 14. And then starting at 14, they come with us. But last year, we had actual teenage group, we decided that this year we'll, combine. Because we were losing a lot of adults, people that have danced, like Paul and Eric, for years and years. They moved on, have families, so we wanted to, bring more people. So we decided to, combine ourselves. So you can tell, the level,
Have they enjoyed dancing with the adults?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a good connection, I guess.
But you can still tell, they're a little group,
sure. Do you offer classes in folk dance? Or is it just part of the, join the group here? Is everyone in the group of Polish descent, or are there some people who just were interested in it?
No, now everybody is of Polish descent. Actually, one guy that's not here, Eric, he's tall, slim. He is not. I don't believe he's got anything Polish in him. I think he just likes dancing.
Good for him. Opportunities that maybe Krakowia could, nothing to read now, just to let you know, bring it home.
We've always interested. We have a different way that we support ourselves. We have a bingo game that we, but for the past so many years, the bingo went down on us. Like, we don't have as many people that come. So right now, bingo just, that we have, and it's not enough. Plus, it involves all of us to work every Sunday, so we rotate, working there, and
around, but right now it's so low that we can't afford to pay the choreographer, the director, musical director. You know, they let us use this hall for free, you know, for now. So, you know, we're always looking for other ways of funding. You know, we have to, because we want to stay alive, you know, and it's worth it, because we do have a lot of people, you know, that come.
And you've been very successful over the years.
Yeah.
Would you get paid for performing, like that night at the Polish Women's?
We didn't get paid for that.
A lot.
That's just something. The Pierce family has established us, and I don't really know what things we do that we get paid for and what we don't, that they have already done through many years. And one of the previous president, she used to be the chairperson of the Polish Women's Club, and that's who sponsored the debutantes ball. So we always performed for them, you know, so it was kind of intertwined. You know,
it's
so
good to keep up relations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that we don't get paid for, but performances like that we do on our own, like we tried in the springtime, we tried to always have a couple hour performance, but we do that ourselves. We rent out a hall and we sell tickets, and that's what we do. Now we're trying to, because we have so many new people, new kids that are not, you know, as experienced. So we're trying to maybe have a performance with a New York group, you know, where we could go over there and then we can invite them over here, you know, to let them see, you know, the different level of dancing.
Oh, I love this. Snap away. Go for it.
That's good.
Are you not in this number, or did I keep you from?
You know, I have done this for so many years that I, like, you know, sometimes I just sit and do nothing, you know, and just watch them.
I know
do it.
You understand.
But I have to. But I have to show support. So I always contribute. My daughter, who's now going to be four, she's been dancing already, and she loves it.
Have you been dancing with her at home?
Oh, actually, she is the one that she will go and put on the skirt, and instead of watching a cartoon, she'll put on one of the performances and dance to it. You know, it's really strange.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, it's good. She just has this dancing thing inside of her.
How young are the youngest children in your children's group?
I think we have one that's 2.5. You know, and I think she's little. Yeah. Monica started different. She's 2.5, but she had that something that she wanted. 2.5 is a little bit too young. They can't concentrate. You know, yeah. But
yeah, that's
why not?
They're not good for lessons.